Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
8:12, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Beautiful spring day ahead, and really looking ahead to the Easter weekend. All in all, pretty nice. We have highs today of about 81 degrees, 84 tomorrow for Good Friday. A lot of outdoor activities going on. Saturday, 84 for a high, then Sunday, 83 with some clouds and humid. But and again, you heard Peyton talk about the Crescent City Classic. It'll be kind of warm and humid with highs of 84, but thankfully no rain for any type of events, a lot of them going on this weekend. So we're talking to Dane Cialino the other day about the Chevron settlement and how now the state is in a way going after oil and gas or doesn't seem as concerned about future exploration. At least that's the way I interpreted it. And we've talked to Eric Smith before about the easy oil and gas have been gotten from the Gulf. Fracking is now the new thing, or on land oil and gas production. And then when you look at tariffs, we thought we'd talk about the future of oil and gas in Louisiana with our friend Greg Upton, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Beautiful morning, Tommy.
Let's talk about the Chevron settlement. Does that, and I know, well, you're an economist, you're not a political scientist, but in any way, can you infer that that means the halcyon days of easy oil and gas or big oil and gas in Louisiana, or at least offshore, are gone, and now the state's figuring and municipalities are figuring, well, that's not coming back, so we may as well go after them and try to get them to pay for the damage they caused?
Yeah, so I don't want to necessarily comment on what I think were folks' motivations mm-hmm. or kind of what the impact of that specifically will be on the future, but I can kind of comment on certainly the trends that have happened and kind of what we're projecting moving forward.
Okay.
So oil production in Louisiana really has declined very, very significantly since the 1970s and then the kind of other little peak in the early 1980s before the price crash. And it's declined by, I can't remember the numbers, but very, very large percentages. Natural gas production in the state has actually increased over that same time period. It was flat for a while and then really increased with the Haynesville Shale. This last year with no low natural gas prices, the Haynesville has dipped a little bit, but is kind of projected to continue into the future. Keep in mind, though, that is for the state, which includes, of course, the state itself, as well as 3 miles offshore. Really where a lot of the oil production and the growth in that has come from federal waters, which is not counted in the state's production numbers. And oil production in federal waters has actually really done really well over the last decade. And so I think where Louisiana is a little bit different in terms of our exposure to that upstream oil and gas sector is really in that offshore space, way much more so than, for instance, our neighbor Texas, which still has a lot of kind of production in these shale geological formations and is experiencing that kind of boom bust with the cycle. Louisiana is a little bit less so because of kind of those longer term investments in offshore. And again, that's actually done really well over the last decade or so.
So when it comes to shale, is that always land? On land, yes? not really.
So, I mean, there is shale offshore. That's a type of geological formation. But when we talk about the shale boom, which is really horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, that is really the boom in that has been onshore. And the Louisiana example of that is, of course, the Haynesville, but you've got other shale plays across the country.
So, so let's talk about the difference between federal waters and Louisiana waters and the prevalence. Is it a supply or demand thing about, you know, obviously you want to get the low-hanging fruit. I call it the cheap, easy oil. Maybe that's not appropriate, but when it comes to Louisiana waters, has the low-hanging fruit slash easy oil gone, been depleted? That's all finished or what?
Yeah, so you think about a basin or a large reservoir of oil, and first you're going to have, of course, the low-hanging fruit that you get and you extract that. But at the same time, you have technological advancement that occurs over time. And these two things move in the opposite direction. You get better technology over time, even though you've produced the most productive areas over time. And so what you typically see is this kind of long-term decline curve as you produce an area, as it becomes mature. But then very specific areas, due to technological advancements, will become economic, and then you'll see a really large increase. And that's exactly what we saw in the Haynesville Shale. And I actually think we'll see that again in oil one day in Louisiana. One example is the TMS, or the Tuscaloosa Marine Shale, which goes through the central part of the state and up towards the kind of northern toe of the boot, if you will, through the Felicianas, St. Helena parishes like that. And I believe one day we actually will see those an uptick in those, but kind of forecasting the time that that'll happen is really, really difficult.
So when you look at, and I remember what it was like on the West Bank in the 80s when the oil boom was just rolling and money was all over the place, steakhouses, you name it, is like the show Dallas almost on the West Bank. If that same thing, if the same conditions were to exist today, how would the changes in technology affect employment, et cetera? I'm trying to compare apples to apples here because we talk about drill, baby, drill. We're talking about tariffs. We will in a minute, specifically as it relates to this and returning manufacturing to the United States. But when it comes to oil production in Louisiana waters, I guess what I'm trying to get a handle on, those days of the 80s, those are never coming back, or is that accurate?
You know, that really is accurate. When you look at the number of jobs that is needed to produce the same number of barrel oil today mm-hmm. versus in the 1990s and the 1980s, you go back, it has really declined. And the reason for that is technological advancement, right? We're just so much more sophisticated today than we were 30, 40 years ago, and therefore we're more efficient and we're able to produce more with less. And so while, of course, for the employees themselves, you might think, oh, my gosh, we have less jobs. But in terms of long-term technological growth and economic growth, that's what drives economic growth in the long run, is being more efficient and advancements in technology.
And I'm not making any political point here. I'm not trying to prove anybody wrong. I'm just trying to look at what's real. And what's real is for people that remember the days on the West Bank and so forth of big oil and when it was just rolling and flowing and money was everywhere. To be clear, that's never going to happen again.
Yeah, in terms of the jobs, you won't need as many jobs, but you take the example of the Haynesville Shale up in northwest Louisiana. I mean, that was an enormous boom to that area. You had landowners that got, you know, enormous royalty payments. An enormous amount of tax revenues went to those parishes. I mean, really transformed their school systems and their roads. So certainly there's a lot of benefits of that economic activity occurring in a place. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just the sheer number of man hours and people you need, that's never going to be back to where it was in the 80s.
Time changed. As a matter of fact, I rode the elevator just now with somebody that said they were back in the day, I think they were in California in a place where they actually still had an elevator attendant. And it's similar to that almost, where you can watch old movies and see a lot of jobs that are there that due to technological advancements are not there anymore, right?
That's exactly right.
Let me take a break. We'll talk about tariffs when we come back. I always make the example, nothing just happens, whether it's setting up chairs for a parent-teacher meeting or what have you. Along those lines, when it comes to tariffs and infrastructure and capital spending and surety and certainty, do we even know what effect tariffs, if they're going to go on or not, are going to have on oil or gas exploration in Louisiana? Greg Upton's our guest, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies. 821 traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, talking about the past and present of oil exploration in Louisiana and the Chevron settlement. And let's talk about the tariffs that I don't know what has been proposed, what's been acted on. I don't know if there have been tariffs. I know the president says drill, baby, drill, but I don't know if tariffs have been placed on any oil and gas. Where does all that stand? Greg, do you know?
Yeah, so it's kind of a fluid situation right now with kind of what tariffs will be implemented on what countries. As you and I talked about 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, there was the list of countries that President Trump had put out with the different tariffs that he was implementing on those. Those have at this point been scaled back for this 90-day period that I guess will be kind of a negotiating period. But really what everyone's doing right now is kind of watching and seeing, because it's hard to respond to a specific policy action or what the future is going to be until you know what specifically that policy is going to be.
So has it affected the operations of, I don't know, imports, exports? I just don't understand. It seems to me, here's what I'm trying to say in my own layman's way, because I'm no Greg Upton, certainly. But it seems like we got...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Got a lot of money here that happens with a lot of investment, a lot of pre-planning, a lot of strategizing and everything else. And it seems like with this amount of uncertainty, that would throw a major monkey wrench in everything. Yes or not?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So, you know, what's the kind of motivation of a tariff? You can think about these products that are used in the U.S. and you want those products to be produced here. So a good example of that is a vehicle, right? You've got this global supply chain, and the production of those has moved elsewhere over time, and so you want to incentivize those to come back. But you also have products that we export globally, and in Louisiana, we're a net exporter to the globe, and especially in these petrochemical sectors. Mm-hmm. And so those sectors are actually negatively impacted by tariffs. And then you think about the capital investment itself. And, you know, this is in the petrochemical sector. We've identified about $115 billion worth of announcements in these export-oriented investments. But you also had the last few weeks, the Hyundai steel announcement. You had the Meta data center announcement. These are really large investments that are coming to the state, but ultimately you're going to have to import components and parts from all over the world. And so kind of the net effect on all those, for Louisiana is certainly difficult. I point to an interesting study that came out in 2018, and you might recall during the first Trump administration, and they had all the steel and aluminum tariffs. And this analysis was conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And they actually ranked all the states in the country in terms of their vulnerability to these trade, to these tariffs and this trade war. And I'm going to read you in the conclusion, they actually point out Louisiana. They say, for instance, states in which production is concentrated in capital-intensive industries or export commodities can be easily purchased elsewhere. Refining in Louisiana, for instance, are likely to experience larger declines. And so this analysis estimated Louisiana could experience actually as much as an 8% reduction in our GDP in response to those tariffs for those reasons. So, yeah, we're kind of a very vulnerable part of the country because of our industries to these tariff policies.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the time and the insight. Greg Upton, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies. J.P. Parnell's coming up next. I got to ask him about this garbage contract and more when we return. 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:44, 16 till 9, joined by the always expressive John Paul Morrell. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So I'm just curious, what did Morrells do for Easter Sunday and Good Friday? Y'all got a big family crawfish boil or anything or what?
Well, consider I'm allergic to shellfish.
Forget that.
Boil unless you're trying to kill me. So
right. No, we don't want that to happen.
Do what everyone else does. We eat fish on Friday, and we'll walk in the Crescent City Classic on Saturday and then mm-hmm. church on Sunday.
Do y'all all get together as a big family and have ham, sweet potatoes, all that stuff?
Yeah, not really.
Barbecue?
Everybody
no.
kind of... When you get married, you kind of disperse to your in-laws.
That happens, and you have kids, and then it all falls apart. So you youngsters enjoy it while you can. Let me just quickly address this IV waste thing. And I was kidding around about Kramer before on Seinfeld saying, everything's working fine, but you had to screw it up, Jerry. It seems like everything's going well with IV waste and cleaning the quarter and everything. Can't we just leave well enough alone with that or what?
It's really bizarre, Tommy. So as you know, we're in the middle of a pretty public lawsuit with Mr. Henry over the validity of his contract, mm-hmm. and that currently is before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. One would think logically, Sidney Torres's company has the contract for a year. You would let the court cases play out, and if they play out in Mr. Henry's favor, he gets the contract. If they don't play out in his favor, he has no contract. And it just seems very bizarre and kind of telling that rather than keep Mr. Torres in place, doing a great job till the legal case is resolved, they're trying to prematurely end Mr. Torres's contract to try and get Mr. Henry the contract before the courts weigh in on it. And I mean, there's no real reason to do that.
That's the point.
Unless you think we're going to win the case.
The point is, if Sidney Torres was screwing it up, or there was a problem that was occurring right now that needed to be corrected, and now we're getting the statistics and type 1 and type 2 errors, that would be something different. But everything's going fine with the way the quarter's being cleaned up, at least according to your council member at large, and Freddie King will tell you the same, right? Everything's good?
Right. I mean, the businesses and residents are happy. If anything, Mr. Torres's cleaning of the quarter shows the original contract was flawed, because in the original contract, the quarter was only getting trash pickup twice a week, and it was getting the streets cleaned 3 days a week. Mr. Torres, under the emergency contract, is doing 7 days a week street cleaning. So part of what we said, even after the lawsuit started, is, hey, guys, if we look at the service that IV Waste is providing, we really need to rebid this contract mm-hmm. based upon the expectation people have of the service level they're getting. Because once you scale back to give this busted contract to Mr. Henry, he's going to follow the contract. That's the most profitable version for him, which will be less services for the people who work, live, and deal with the quarter.
All right, let's talk about this Gambit headline I'm looking at here that just, you know, and it's a story, I don't think it's sensational at all. It's from John Stanton, Gambit editor. New Orleans officials can sexually harass workers so long as productivity doesn't decline. That seems, you know, I'm laughing at it. It's not funny if you're the one that's being sexually harassed, but it is so ridiculous on the face of it. Talk about that, JP, if you will, please.
Well, so last year, in May of last year, the city council, in a unanimous decision, fired the clerk of council because we found substantiated allegations of her sexually harassing people through unwanted touching and other kind of hostile workplace stuff over 11 years. We fired her last May. The Civil Service Commission has a six-month period to evaluate this. 1 year later, they came back and said, you know what? All that crying testimony of victims being harassed, we think that was all true. But since you didn't prove that the office suffered from it, you have to reinstate her with back pay. Now, I want to tell you two things. One of the employees in the clerk's office quit over it. So I don't know how that doesn't meet the criteria of impacting operations. But more importantly, the commission went a step further, Tommy. They published the names of all the accusers in the decision, which no one does. Mm-hmm. Because obviously you've exposed all of these women to repercussions from the clerk and her allies, because all these investigations were meant to be done in a confidential way. So, I mean, the Civil Service Commission, they not only got it wrong, they got it wrong in the most offensive way possible. And we're already in the process, Tommy, of appealing this, asking for a rehearing, which whatever that means, and then going to the courts, because between this, between the sexual harassment that happened at the homelessness office, between what happened at DPW where you literally had an individual on tape, a supervisor, call one of the employees a fat B-word, why would anyone work in this city, in City Hall, when we have an administration in a civil service that basically encourages people to not report sexual harassment, discourages them to do it, and on top of that, protects the people who are being shown, obviously, to have committed it? It's mind-blowing, it's disappointing, and the council is going to fight this all the way to Supreme Court if we have to, because those individuals who came forward, they don't deserve to be told, yeah, we believe you were sexually harassed, but your boss is coming back and she can keep doing it as long as productivity doesn't fall off.
I don't mean to correct anything you said, but you left out the sex room at the Carrollton Water Treatment Plant. Let's take a break, pick it up here, we come back, 8:50, 10 till 9, J.P. Morrell, our guest, Traffic Now, WWL. Got to wonder what's going on at City Hall and city government. J.P. Morrell listed some things. He left out the sex room at the Carrollton Water Plant. A Civil Service Commission finds a woman is guilty of sexual harassment and other types of harassment over an 11-year period. Not an isolated incident, but says, you know what? It didn't really affect the job performance, so you got to reinstate her. Oh, and give her back pay. Tell me about the whole setup of city government, city charter, because a lot of people know of city civil service. They might not know exactly how it works and who they're over and who comprises the Civil Service Commission, JP?
So the civil, I mean, that's a lot to do in 4 minutes.
Well, you can do it. You can get it done.
Okay, civil service is basically the establishment of workplace protections to protect people from political interference in their job. So it's meant to be, I can't fire you or demote you or pass you over for a promotion because you don't play politics with elected officials or people above and below you. The protection there is supposed to be tied directly to the fact that someone's trying to terminate you or not promote you or demote you for some political or non-logical reason. What you've kind of seen over the years, Tommy, is it's turned into like the board that makes it impossibly difficult to fire people because the board doesn't like people getting fired, kind of basically. I mean, it's the same board that a couple of years back, you may recall, there was that off-duty police officer who sped across the causeway drunk. The police chief fired him, and they reinstated him with back pay because they said the drunkenness and speeding happened off-duty. So it's like it's a problem. The appointment process is very hard to explain in a few minutes. It's a five-person board. One person is elected essentially by the civil service employees. The others are picked for their levels of expertise, including college presidents and the like. But there's a disconnect there. I mean, it's been a disconnect for years. And I think what we're seeing right now with the situation with the council, with our clerk, I mean, we voted 7-0. And I mean, you know, Tommy, we don't agree on anything.
No,
we all agree this was a problem. This person needed to go. And rather than try to look, I mean, Tommy, here's the takeaway that really is heartbreaking. The four people that came forward to report this behavior, they're civil service employees too. So you took four civil service employees, the people who this board's supposed to protect, and said, you know what? Yeah, you guys were sexually harassed. Wasn't that bad. You guys might have been crying in your testimony. You might have been scared to come forward. The office may be operating better, which it is, without this person looming over them, but hold our beer. She has to come back. You got to pay her back pay, and you know things have to be the way they are because we're looking out for the supervisor who's the harasser and not the employees.
What happens next?
Well, the process was we're going to ask the board for rehearing. I don't have any faith that's going to go anywhere, but we're going to go to the Fourth Circuit Supreme Court over it because I don't know how you have a finding that sexual harassment took place and then just set it aside to go to the next step so you can get the person back in there. I mean, if you read the ruling, which you probably won't, but I'll fast forward to the end, it's obvious from reading the ruling, Tommy, that they had already decided what they were going to do and just backfilled it with just enough facts to get their point across because there are material facts we brought up in the hearing that they left out because it undercut their position.
Thank you, JP. Appreciate your time. We'll talk about China and cyber attacks when we come back.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.